Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Brian Gittins here. Just doing the little intro. It won't be a long one. I know how you lot feel about listening to this. I'm not stupid. It's pretty boring. Well, I've got to do a bit of plugging. Come on, make the most of the audience out there. All 9 of you. If I'm sounding quieter than normal, it's because I'm doing this in a field. I feel a little bit self-conscious. Basically, I've got an Achilles heel problem, so I'm trying to work that mummer out. Whilst doing the intro. This is already rambling. Okay, so what can I say? So next Thursday, May the 31st, it's the David Edwards Q&A down in Brighton at Sticky Mike's. Please come along. Selling incredibly well. Of course they is. It's a wonderful night. If you want to be in the audience and ask David questions for a good hour or so, there anything you want, then please come along. It's always a cracking night. What else is there? Challenged, our game show has been moved to June the 14th at the Moth Club in Hackney. It's going to be a World Cup special. Don't even know what that means, but it's quite a nice title. So that's on June the 14th at the Moth Club in Hackney. Just said that. Oh, what else? My Edinburgh show has gone on sale. Whoopie fucking do. Yeah, so those are the three main things, I think. That's David Edwards, the Sticky Mikes, next Thursday, May the 31st, Q&A. We got Challenge Game Show, June the 14th at the Moth Club in Hackney. And we got my bloody Edinburgh show up for sale. I can't wait to do Edinburgh. Nah. I like doing that. Nah. Anyway, so that's it. I'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brian Gittins and Friend podcast, episode 37. We're on, David. What do you make of that?
That is a big, bold number.
That is David Edwards to my right-hand side. He's always here. He's 6 foot how tall?
I'm 6'4".
6'4", it's insane. And your nickname this episode is The Blonde.
Boulder, I keep on moving.
What does that mean?
A boulder, a stone, rolling down a hill. I'm constantly moving. I need a push. Right. But then I'll keep going and keep moving.
Do you think we will make it to 50 episodes?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Cool. Right, so I guess this episode is none other than David
Arnold.
Hey.
Indeed.
Thanks for coming, David.
Thank you very much. My nickname's the Blonde Boulder as well. It's weird, isn't it?
That's weird, is it?
Blimey, is it really?
Who'd have thought?
Got two boulders in the room for crying out loud.
Well, you could be Blonde Boulders.
You could be the Boulder Blonde.
Yes.
Do you mind changing your name for David?
No, I'm more than happy to go on one knee.
He has more experience in this environment than I do, so he probably would be bolder by nature of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But congratulations on the height. Anyway, that's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Are you 6'4",
genetics?
No, but it might be one day. I know it's something about eating.
It might be one day.
And if you're eating, I think you have to eat something.
Spinach, I think, or something like that. Vegetables, fiber day.
When you're little.
Yeah.
Dog's bones.
When do you stop growing? When do you stop growing?
At 7 o'clock every night, I think.
That's the cut-off point. No more growth.
If you keep
after
going,
that.
You find you don't fit in your bed anymore. So
right.
I tend
and when
to,
do you start growing?
Well, what I do then is that I retract over the length of an evening. I will probably lose about 4 or 5 inches. So when I get back up again,
right.
I'm back to normal height.
Well,
and then as you go through the day, I think I'll got 10 minutes, I'll grow a little bit.
There's science behind this.
Do you think you could grow over the course of this episode?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It'd be good to but film your time lapse. Mainly, they forward it up.
Yeah, mainly width-wise, I think. Yeah. I find width-wise is the easiest growth.
Well, I do that with these, grow width-wise. What do you grow? You're always like pencil thin, David.
Oh, no, I can. You know, after Christmas or whatever, I've certainly got a pregnant stomach type
of
thing.
Really?
Yeah, sort of a chicken chest, but a very large sort of stomach.
I've got a fat pencil as well.
Pencil? Yeah. Goodness me, there you go.
Ooh, a little bit of flirting.
Oh, lovely. Bit of lead there.
All right, so this episode, we're
just say how it is.
Well, it's thin. I mean, thin as a pencil, you know, your pencil thin, but if you've got a really, really fat pencil.
I'd love to have a
I would.
Remember,
so I don't
ones
mind
that, remember those ones that used to get that used to zip around the top and you used to keep other pencils in it?
Blimey, that's a big one. I know what you
nylon.
Mean.
Nylon.
With a zip. Yeah, yeah. I have one of those at secondary school.
Yeah, one of them. If you've got one of them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's from the old days.
Right.
The old days, I think at secondary school, it'd be a massive pen and you'd unzip the top, take the pencil at the top, and there'd be pencils inside them.
Right,
and
you're...
That were pencil thin, but the actual one that held them was not.
Fat.
Had a big girth to it.
Okay. So this episode of the podcast is situated in David's recording studio.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
It's nice.
Very expensive.
Yeah, it's really
very
nice.
Very nice.
Could you explain what we're looking at, David?
A very large desk with lots of knobs and buttons and swivel things. Three seats, three headphones, and we've got a large glass panel. And on the other side, there's a woman in her 40s with a cello. And we're going to make some magic.
Who's that woman?
Who is it? She actually plays Chewbacca in the films. Everyone thinks it's the...
But it's that
there's another guy who's 6'4", actually, who's blonde.
Yeah.
I think he's Scandinavian. He's the one that goes out and does the publicity when they do... You know, when they do Star Wars and they have the premieres, he'll say, here's the guy who plays Chewbacca, and he comes out because he actually sounds like
him. Gotcha.
But the cellist is the one who actually plays.
This is a real peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
I'm quite a fan of Star Wars.
What's she doing here?
Why
is she here?
She's doing voiceovers for the new Star Wars. See, there's a Han Solo film coming out, and Chewbacca's in that, so she's got to do some moaning.
She's tiny.
Grunt.
Like through the glass. Yeah.
She hasn't
four
grown.
4'11". No.
I think she probably forgot.
So she's not in the suit, but she like dubs the growling and.
Yeah,
the
she does all. She does. She does all the noises. I think she. The thing about Grant at 6 foot. He's actually 6'7".
Can you sit up in your chair? I know you're in your own recording studio.
Yeah, when you grow to 6'7" to play Chewbacca, then they have this special diet and special exercise routine for you. They've got a trainer, and he specialises in height.
Yeah.
So there are sort of chin ups and pull ups and special powder and thing.
Sure.
But at night, unless you keep doing it, at night you will, like a concertina, just gradually go back to.
Oh my lord! Smaller and smaller.
Yeah, about 4 inches tall.
So you become just signed into this diet, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to keep up with it, especially when you get older. It's much more difficult to stop shrinking.
It is. You do start shrinking. That's a fact, isn't it?
Well, I do.
Not you personally,
everyone
but the human
does.
Race. When you hit a certain age, I think it's 15, 16, then you do start to shrink.
Well, I suppose your bones start crumbling, don't they?
They do, unfortunately. That's just life.
David, what I thought we were doing this episode is, I wonder if you could compose kind of some kind of tune that would represent what David is.
Yeah.
What would you go about doing first?
What tends to happen when you're writing is that there's conceptually it's like, what is it about? What's the story? What's the character?
Okay,
who is he? And then how do we represent that in sound?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
And
what's my attitude sort of thing?
Yeah, it's like if we heard this, we would know something about you. It's like, you know, it's like if it's Sherlock, we kind of expect him to be. Yeah. You know, quizzical and
or like Indiana
full of
Jones,
questions, you know, Batman,
or
James Bond, all these people. So they tell you know whoever's playing the part. When you hear the music, you kind of have an idea about who he is.
Yeah.
So I suppose we need to know.
So the first question for you, is David, who the fuck are you, mate?
Yeah,
who are you? Who is he?
Who am I?
Your first question,
deep
David.
In my soul, who am I?
Where are you? Help sometimes.
Where are you?
At the moment, I'm in London,
right.
In the centre of London, near
Liverpool. Who are you?
Who am I? Man who's searching for a plan. It's like, you know, I've got a lot of energy, a lot of focus, but but I haven't got a blueprint of what to build.
So you're sort of aimless.
Yes, but a lot of energy behind
it.
Keep the volume down.
Like a highly energized tramp.
Highly energized tramp. Yes, it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't even got a big issue to try and
sell. So that's basically what you are.
Yes. I'm not just without a plot, I'm without a home. But as I say, a lot of energy. If I, you know, I've got a good handshake, good eye contact, everything's there. I just need a cause.
Mm.
Right.
Something watery.
Something watery.
Yeah.
How would you create a watery
sound? Like sort of dribbly noise. You know when icicles melt quick?
Oh, yes.
Maybe we could put a drum underneath it, and you get that sort of pitter-patter
thing.
Sounds
like a Scandinavian thriller kind of vibe.
You could do that now?
Yeah, you could do that.
Twist a knob. So Dave's just twisting a few knobs.
Cool that. I've got a couple of drums.
Because there's no direction to water, is there?
Right. So it's like
no, and also it can be hard or soft.
Very true.
I've noticed you are.
Hard or soft? Yeah, definitely. I'm a mixture of the two. It depends where you jab me or you poke type of thing. Some of it's hard, some of it's soft. So I like the idea of water. There's a mystery element there. Will it build up? Will my character find a plan?
How about a quick short noise? How about a quick short noise?
Quick short noise? How about a quick short noise?
Oh. That does it, I think.
That'll do. So we'll record that and put that on a loop over
remix.
The drums.
So you rap over it. I heard someone the other day say that rap music reminded them of someone playing a record while listening to a very fast TED talk.
Right. That's an interesting way of looking at it, because there's some wisdom in the rap if you listen to the words.
If you don't listen to the words, it's a bit like not listening to the TED talk.
Yes, it's just there in the background, just giving you a headache.
Do you listen to rap, David?
I listened to early 80s rap like Public Enemy.
Did you really?
But I didn't in the day type
of
thing.
What about now? What do you listen to?
I haven't got my finger on the pulse now. I've kind of been left behind by the rap juggernaut. It's kind of driven past me sort of thing. Right. I'd like to get back into it.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, I can't quite find a doorway into it, though.
What is your last music album you purchased?
What was the last piece of music I purchased? It was, I don't mind saying, Enya's Greatest Hits.
Why would you mind saying that's all right.
Yeah. That's all right. I wasn't sure.
Have you met Enya?
I haven't, no, but no. I know what are her greatest hits. I mean, I know the one about
Sail Away.
We knew that one.
That's Orinoco Flow, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you've got the music for the Tom Cruise film Far and Away.
I apologise.
Put those away with my fingers. And then
Home and Away.
No, not Home and Away, the Australian show. It's Far and Away, starring Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
They should make a version of Home and Away with Tom Cruise in it.
And then your version of Home and Away. Yeah. That would be nice.
That would be good. A nice spin-off.
So you bought this Greatest Hits album.
Yes.
So what other songs are on it?
I'm trying to think.
Did you buy it in 1980?
No, I didn't. I bought it quite recently. It was the last one I bought.
Have you listened to it?
I have. I've got to be saying they're the two main ones I listen to. There are other ones alongside it.
You could have just
one is
this.
About in a cave. And it's about ultimately dripping in a cave and ultimately her voice is echoing.
I could see why that would appeal to you.
Yeah, it links
isn't
to what he said earlier.
Isn't always echoing? Isn't that her thing?
Yeah, it's got a Celtic mythology vibe.
Can you
to
do
it.
An impression of Enya?
Sail away, sail away, sail
That's
away.
Horrible, David.
I apologise. No, I really do. I put a lot of
Caribbean
faith
blue.
In my singing.
What's that? Caribbean Blue.
Caribbean yes. Blue.
Caribbean Blue.
Gee, I should know that one. That's the greatest hit.
I think they've got that at home base.
Oh, I can imagine a bit of Enya whilst by my shelves.
No, the paint.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Enya would be quite nice piped in, wouldn't it, as you're buying your...
Caribbean Blue.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
You pipe Enya into home base.
Pipe Enya into home base
she's,
as in the music
she's
in the background.
Thin, but...
Not the actual
Do you
person.
Know that she's
capture
yeah, she's seen
music.
Her records. It's like one of her album covers. She's really thin, but I don't think you could get her in a pipe.
This is true. That could be vandalism to her as a person. Human rights. Got to respect them.
Second question of the podcast comes in from a listener, David. When I was very small, I wanted to be called Rick, be a black man, and have a moustache. What have you always wanted to be?
Well, I think that's quite... Is it a female who's written that? I'm trying to think how removed from Rick Black Man Moustache is.
Jim Parkin has said that in.
What did I ever want to be? I think perhaps more masculine, you know, a bit more kind of, male. It took me a while to get the old designer stubble cooking around the cheeks. I think so. It wasn't
a bigger pencil.
A bigger pencil, definitely, like a fat pencil, like the stationary example. That would be more ideal. But it's very much a case whereby I never wanted to change my ethnicity or suddenly grow a moustache or anything to that extreme, to that degree.
Well, it hasn't got, you haven't got to be copying Jim's.
Quite right. What? So I would say a more Dave Edwards with a bit more masculinity chucked in.
Right.
You know, so that would be...
What would that look like?
More of a chiseled chin, not as pale in the face, a bit more colour.
Yeah.
And a bit of a Harrison Ford stubble.
Right.
Sort of ruffling away within the face.
Yeah.
Sharper eyes.
Don't point.
Sorry, put those away. Sharper eyes, I think. Perhaps blue eyes.
Sharp eyes would be useful, wouldn't they?
They would be. Cutting
really
through crystal.
Sharp ones.
Definitely. Well, it's like a superpower, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sharp
eyes. It'd mess your pillow up.
It would do.
Well,
you've got to think about the reality.
If you were kissing someone and your eyes were really sharp, you'd have their eyes out as well.
Yeah,
you would be.
You'd have your bloody eyes out with those eyes.
And if you had a chiseled chin as well, I suppose you'd do the chiseling. What if you chiseled it so that was in a point as well?
It'd be an absolute nightmare.
Basically, you'd just have a really, really pointy face.
Yeah.
That's sort of quite masculine, isn't it?
Is that what you want? Is it you want a pointy
face? Sort of like an axe.
No, because I think, you know, when you want a lip on lip, you want that to be a sensual, you know, nice, intimate moment. You don't want blood.
Not the sort of thing you put on the bottom of your boot if you're going up Everest.
No, quite right.
With eyes.
No.
Sharp eyes.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Sticking out of your eyes, someone else's eyeballs, looking down at your eyes, that'd be a horrific nightmare.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I want a kiss and a hug. Leave it there.
Okay. So, David, you've got to know David a little bit more.
What's the next thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried, you know, violin bows.
Violin bows.
A violin bow.
Yes.
A bow that you use for playing a violin.
Yeah.
It's horse hair, and you put a sort of waxy, sticky substance on it, which makes it grip onto whatever it is you're drawing it upon.
Oh, right.
And normally, if you do it on a violin, it makes the violin string vibrate, and that's what gets the note out of it.
Yeah.
But if you do it across other things as well, like cymbals or vibraphones or anything, it makes them vibrate as well.
Right.
And it's quite chilling. You know those you know when you get those films or those TV shows on about 8:30 on ITV?
Yeah.
And there are like people waiting at train stations in steam. It's like that, right?
Yeah.
When the sound that you get when there's a load of steam comes out and they're waiting at a train station at night and it's Christmas, right? And you hear that noise and it's sort of like someone's like unraveling a sort of giant oil can backwards. That's the sound of like metal things being bowed, and it's quite a chilling effect.
Are you trying to represent me?
Well, a part of you, if you're
part of David,
it's really sharp eyes,
right?
Absolutely, they're quite deadly. You've got to watch it.
So could you lay that on top of the drums now, David?
Yeah, we could put that on top of the drums.
Here we go. Wow. So this is David Edwards' music by David Arnold. It's quite an interesting collaboration.
We haven't even got
this is groovy.
This is groovy.
It really is. This is what musically represents me.
Yeah.
It's a bit sound design, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's rather music. You know, like the music, like you could go dun 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 is music.
I see what you mean.
But...
Yeah, right.
Sort of
so it really represents my personality.
Yeah.
It symbolises me musically.
It's more of an aura.
Yeah.
More of an aura. I'll take anything. I'll take... Thank you very much.
What is this instrument for?
It's for a film.
For a film?
For the film we're making.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the soundtrack of my movie.
Yeah, we have to know what you do and how you move and where you go the thing that I think I told a lot of people that I was coming, like everyone that I know, I told them I was coming on, and they all had questions.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are several. I had to choose from a lot.
Can we take your auntie's question?
No, I haven't got any of them.
No.
But I've got two dogs.
Okay.
And one of them, two nights ago, was sick.
Sorry to hear that.
On the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
But it actually spelled out a question. I think it...
That
I don't know if it was on
surreal,
purpose.
Isn't it?
Incredible.
Yeah. But it spelled out a word.
Yeah.
Was it grammatically correct? It was all properly...
Well, I don't know. I thought you might understand. Because after it had been ill, it was like pouring at a picture of you. And so
okay, that's
interesting. You know when Champion the Wonder Horse like tells you that there's a fire in the barn because he keeps banging his foot on the floor.
Yeah. Vomited and then started.
It was a bit like that. He goes like, it's in code.
You know, this is the first question we've ever been asked by a dog that's vomited.
Yeah.
It's a new
realm. I'm sure if he could speak, he'd actually say, but he can't.
And it was a framed photo of me just in the house.
No, it was on the fridge.
On the fridge, goodness. Oh, I'm glad my face is on your fridge,
no,
sir.
No, it's not my fridge.
Will you read it out in the jumbled order it came
someone
out
else's
in?
Someone else's fridge.
Yeah, it was in someone else's house. I was
could you read the question out in the jumbled order that it came out in?
Yeah, it was, well, it was more of a sound, actually. Okay. And it looked like a word, but actually it was more like
that sounds almost like misery.
Okay, yeah, so and that's the second question, the David.
So what my answer would be to misery?
No, it wasn't misery, was it?
No, it's more like a mums.
Go on.
I would say absolutely, full steam ahead. I wouldn't really, I wouldn't want to be negative about it. The dog's obviously having some kind of, you know, he's trying to get a question out alongside convulsing.
Yeah,
it would be a case of, well, I mean, it's a dog, so maybe he needs to be walked.
Well, I think it
maybe
was a dog.
So you don't, just a four-legged creature.
How can you tell?
The snout.
Might be David Icke. You know those things when he said, like, you know, that people are lizards and things like that?
Yeah.
So for all we know, we might have been sold the idea that dogs are dogs when in fact they're not. There might be something else. But they're fans of you, wherever they are.
Well, that's good to know. Well, I don't know. He sort of projectile vomited with just the vision of me.
Well, what was your answer to the question, David?
I would try and be optimistic, or you know,
so like, it's basically absolutely full steam ahead.
Yeah, I think if like a Japanese tourist started talking to me in Japanese tongue, I'm not literate in Japanese. Okay. I would just try and meet her energy, you know, and be like, "Well, thanks for the compliment," or, you know, and just move ahead after that.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, it'd be absolutely full steam ahead. Thanks for your time. Give them a stroke and pound the back.
If I'm being perfectly honest. It wasn't really a question. The fact is that the dog, it's not actually a dog. My next door neighbour used to work for a bank. He used to work for a hedge fund manager.
Oh, right.
But he'd had enough and he wanted to get out because of the rat race and it was, you know, a lot of pressure. And he started, weirdly coincidentally, an eye sharpening service, a mobile eye sharpening service where it's like, you know, you used to go and get a bloke used to come around on a bike with stones and things for grinding your knives.
Absolutely.
Like he does it for eyes. And he asked me, you know, he hasn't got any celebrity clients, and sometimes if you get someone high profile, it can help when you're launching,
get you on the map
when you're launching a business. So
yeah,
so he's basically asked if you would that thing about a dog was not true.
No,
he wanted to know if you'd be interested in fronting the business, you know, being the face of.
The only problem about this here, I don't want to be negative about it, but I think they're sharp enough, and I, you know, I want intimacy with human beings, and I don't want to just be, you know, littered with death and bodies around my lounge.
What about intimacy with things that aren't human beings that might appreciate a sharper eye?
What, like a piece of wood?
I don't know. Some statues have got Picasso. He'd probably like them.
What if I sort of went in to kiss his statue and kind of like?
No, him. Actually, him or his children.
But the thing is, he wouldn't be alive afterwards. I think a sharp eye through the eyeball, through the brain.
Well, he's not alive now. I'm thinking like his kids would probably like it because they've grown up with looking at all that sort of stuff, haven't they? With people with ears coming out of their noses and everything.
They might be open-minded to it. You're quite right.
Can I just focus on what we're talking about here?
Yeah.
What
are we talking about? That was the question. The question was
would you like to fund his eye sharpening business?
I'm going to have to say
he
no.
Wants to know what the money is.
What's the money like? What are we talking about money-wise?
I think it's like Phil Dragon's Den thing. I think it's like something like 10% of the pre-tax profits.
And what would 10% of what? What would it be kind of?
Well, it would be, if it was £1 million, it would be £100,000.
It was 100,000 sharp away.
If it was £100,000, that's what percentages do.
David, could you do an impromptu kind of advert for the business?
I will do.
Okay, so I've put a little bit of music in. Here we go. It's David Edwards' eye sharpening business advert.
It's time to turn your life around by sharpening your eyeballs. In a matter of seconds, they can turn into deadly weapons to see through. www.sharpballseyeballs.com.
I'm going to have mine sharpened now.
Okay.
You know your eyes can't focus unless they're in air.
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, that's why you can't swim underwater. Like, that's why you have to have a thingy
mask.
It is, yeah, because if you take them off, they can't focus. You need air in front of the lens for your.
And that's why an astronaut needs a helmet. Yeah. Obviously to breathe, but also to see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So two helmets.
So we have a part of the podcast where David gets to ask the guest a question.
Yeah,
Golden Questions.
I've heard that bit. Okay. Yeah,
it's a lovely section.
Fabulous. It is. It goes down well.
David,
I'm surprised.
Fingers crossed.
Has it had an award? Has it been nominated?
It's never been nominated, but I think there's potential. You know, I like to keep optimistic.
I love this bit.
Oh,
I love
thank
the
you all. No, thank
bed
you very much.
It's early days, but you know, yeah,
it's
a question.
It's got
David
potential. I'd love to ask, questions about certainly the film industry. You know,
I mean, what do you teach, David?
I do teach a bit of film studies. I dabble in a bit of film,
David.
I'm not sure if I believe it.
No, it's a fact. It's real.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
If your eyes are shut, though, are they like prisons?
If your eyes are shut, what?
If they're sharp, are they like, you know, if they're obviously sharp, but are they like prisons? Can you see? Would you see like a sort of insect? Like hundreds and hundreds of
them. I was thinking it'd be like a kaleidoscope. It would be like that, like you're a bug or a fly.
Yeah, if you were watching 2001, that would be all right, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah, absolutely.
So where do you teach? Are you not allowed to say?
I'm not allowed to say. I've got to keep that off the internet grid.
It's down in Chichester, isn't it?
I like not Chichester. Really, sort of around that sort of neck
Arundel.
Of the woods. Arundel, yes.
Who have said it before.
I'm sure we mentioned it before. Where do you teach, David?
Is it the Witterings?
But it's sort of around that kind of.
And you teach film video, is that right?
I do. I teach film and video. They come together. It's a wonderful marriage, film and video.
Has David ever been a lesson?
Yes.
Subject of a lesson?
We certainly have analysed. Casino Royale was one.
They've analysed your work, David.
Analysed your actual work. The strength of music alongside film. And how it adds to the atmosphere and emotional response.
When you say you teach film and video, but you teach people about film and video.
Yes. So I'm like the middleman. I'm the man who fills them with wisdom, and then they go off on the streets and they make films.
Yeah. No, sorry, I thought you meant you actually taught film and video. Like you went in there and there's a load of film lying around and teach it.
Like VHS.
Yeah.
Like VHS. That's part of it as well. Every now and then you've got to roll your hand, your sleeves up and say, this is video, let's all start touching
it. Nothing worse than
it.
A bunch of unruly DVDs spinning around.
Oh, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
With their extra features.
iTunes app uploading MP4s, none of that rubbish. It's all video and film, proper celluloid.
Yeah. So what was your question for David?
I don't know where to begin, really. There's endless questions.
It's all MP3 these days, of course.
It is. MP3, 4, 5, it's out of control.
MP4A.
What was it like, composing music for a big Hollywood film?
By the way, you don't have to answer.
If you don't wish to answer, please just shoot me down. I won't take it personally. I'll hobble off.
Yeah.
someone like Dean Devlin, like Independence Day, big Hollywood.
Look at you with your names.
Goodness me.
Bloody hell.
What was it like working in the Hollywood realms? Ronald Emmerich.
He's a film buff.
Yeah.
He buffs films.
A producer of films, yeah.
Okay.
Film buff is
buffing
actually...
Buffing away.
People who actually polish films are film buffs.
That probably is true.
Yeah, they make them all shiny. That's why they look all nice in the cinema.
Is that what you do?
I do. Yeah. I sit there with my polishing, my Mr. Muscle, spraying on the film.
Yeah.
And when you get them home, they're all murky and mucky and everything. Everyone complains about them. That's because you haven't got a film buffer.
Yeah.
And I'll happily take that role.
Anyway, what was it like?
Yes, what was it?
It was you spend a lot of time on your own in a dark room. When I was doing Zoolander, for instance.
Did you do Zoolander?
I did Zoolander.
Look at David.
The only place that was in Paramount and the only place that they could fit me, because it was a bit last minute, was the room that housed the air conditioning units for the computer system at Paramount Pictures.
Oh, God.
So it was like a cupboard, but it had like massive fans and cooling machines in it, and I was stuck in the corner in there for 2 weeks. So that's what that was like.
Yeah.
What was Ben Stiller like to work with? Well,
that's the second. Sorry.
Calm down, David.
Sorry, apologies.
Calm
sorry,
down, David.
Yeah, he was really cold.
Was he?
Yeah, because we were in the room with all the air conditioning units.
It's
and
freezing.
So whenever he came in, he was just
absolutely
like really
freezing.
Cold.
Freezing.
So basically, he was freezing.
Goodness me.
Roland Emmerich was quite German.
German.
And Dean Devlin was reasonably half Filipino
exclusive.
American.
This is real exclusive. I get Empire magazine once a month. I never knew any of this.
No one knows.
I've got a question, David, you know Jaws, where he goes,
if the one from the film, not the Bond one.
No, not the Bond.
Yeah, because he does that as well.
I know what he used to. He's
there's his teeth going. Used to.
Yeah, indeed. There's a copyright issue with that.
But if I was told to compose some music for Steven Spielberg, come up to me and say, could you? And I just went that.
Yeah.
I feel like a fake. I think you need a lot of confidence to go, I've got that.
I think initially that was his response as well.
Was
it?
When he played it
to him, that Steven Spielberg was like, is that it? You know, and
David? Can you just remind us?
It's
awful, isn't it, when you think about it?
I heard that was
I love you, babe. Wait,
was that the original?
Yeah.
It's all on the beach, aren't they? They're enjoying themselves. And then it goes wrong.
Charles, that's it.
Do you ever have situations where you're watching the film and obviously there's no music because you need to make the music?
You get one question.
Sorry, Brian, you're quite right.
David's going to come on the podcast again in 3 years.
I'll look forward to that question then. I certainly will, David.
I'll come back.
I'll calm down. No, there's nothing uncalm about me. I'm very much in the middle.
I'd like to live here.
Please do.
We'll sod off about 5 past 5, so I don't know what you're...
Well, I'll just stay here.
Yeah, well, it's your recording studio.
I can do what I like.
Why would you go?
Indeed, with the violin lady.
What's the next instrument you'll put on for David's composition? Spent about 35 minutes in his company.
Yeah, we've done a lot, haven't we? Well, I think we've got the texture of him.
I think you have.
Yeah.
The emotional, a man of mystery sniffing around for a plan.
The emotional texture of him. Yeah. So we have the foundation upon which we can build something with melodic intent.
Wow.
I want some melodic intent.
There's this great computer that came out. That Alan Sugar made. Called an it's an Amstrad.
That's right, exactly I've it. Heard of that.
And,
yeah.
You know what Amstrad stands for?
No, I don't know. Is it Latin, a god?
Alan Martin Sugar Trading, is it something like that?
Never knew that. I thought it was Latin or
Alan,
something.
Something like Alan Martin Sugar
I
Trading.
I thought he just spelt something wrong. I think he just put his hand. I just think he put his hand in a bag of Scrabble letters and that was what came out. Or was it his mum and dad's name? His mum's name was Amst and his dad's name was Rad, I think.
Maybe.
He lived near the Strand, something like that.
No, I'm not sure that was
Amstranged.
Amstranged.
Yeah. That was the first one. That didn't work. I had one of his tellies.
Right.
About three.
Amstrad TV. So
when you said you remember that computer, what the hell was that?
It used to make a noise when it didn't work.
Ah.
And I think that would
when
be the key.
Work.
Yeah, which is right. all the time. Yeah. He turned it on and just, you know, used to make a sort of weird sort of fizzing kind of burning. I don't
That burning really means it's not working.
Noise. Yeah,
it's
it does. It didn't work, but it only did it once.
And then it would.
But it was a good noise. I think maybe sample that and a bit like, you know, like No 19.
Yeah.
A bit like that. Just keep playing that.
Well, could you play it?
That's amazing. Do you know what? I'm going to have this as a ringtone, and I'll say this is composed by David Arnold.
And then
hello, Dave Edwards.
And then does that represent?
It doesn't matter.
It's not interesting.
Once you push in on his face, and you start hearing that, like cameras, like so, so we've got like full
zooming
close up
into my face, so IMAX screen, eyes,
massive. Yeah. You're
sort of looking side to side,
sharp eyes, chiseled jaw, and all that extra masculinity stuff that you added onto it.
You were listening
onto
thank
the
you
side,
very much.
Yeah. The special effects thing. You go pushing, and then you just hear that. You hear the drip of the water on the drum. That sort of sound that we had earlier. And this,
can we hear it now? And then, we've got to end the bloody podcast. Can we?
No, we haven't. You're saying that, but actually, you're wrong.
So when you're in a Hollywood pitch meeting, is it like this then? You've got to kind of like, is that a bit like what you've got to do?
I actually went to a Hollywood pitch meeting once where people, where the executives were, you know that thing when you have a ball and if you get the ball, you get to speak.
Oh yeah,
you know that thing like they do in therapy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you have the stick or something like that. You're not allowed to speak. Anyway, they didn't have one, so they pretended to have one. So they would throw it across the room and someone would pretend to catch it and come up with a great idea.
What was that for? What film were they pitching for that?
Well, I can't say because sometimes you work with these people.
David,
more than
you can't ask this many questions.
Yes, sorry, I'm quite right.
Yes,
David here is going to give you his email.
later after the
podcast. Thank you. If we can sort that out.
As many questions as you want to.
If we can sort that out, it'd be hugely appreciated. Full eye contract, verbal contract, that I'll
You promise I'll to get give, that. Give him your email.
Well, if it's Chichester, I like Chichester.
Yeah, yeah, well, absolutely. We'll wander through the cathedral and we'll talk films.
Whereabouts in Chichester is
dead centre, it's opposite a rugby pitch.
Oh, yeah, I know that. There's a bus stop near there.
Yeah. There is. So you can get off the bus. We'll,
and
I don't know,
harbour.
There's lots of vending machines. Grab a Snicker bar and just chat about Bond. For God's sake.
I used to like vending machines. When I was little and used to go swimming, you used to be able to get, first time I ever came across like chocolate, you know, hot chocolate that came out of vending machines.
Yes.
The only reason you would go swimming was to get some of this out of the vending machine.
Yeah.
Because it's something you never got at home. And I've always liked vending machines.
I always feel
like duty bound to have buy something out of it, even if I don't want something.
Well, they're quite exciting as a gift, isn't it? Yeah. They're waiting for you.
I mean, there's no surprises. Well, the only surprise is, will it fall off the thing?
Well, I have that a lot. I
do you know what you two are getting on so well?
I really... Do you feel that, David?
Well, the second half, I'm going to be speaking to Brian Moore. The second half.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think we're doing well.
This first half has been... I know we've been It's been directed towards you, but that's because Brian has directed it that way, and it's his show.
No, it's lovely. I'm sensing like a crackling in
the air. I think naturally we've got on really well.
Yeah.
I don't want to put words into your mouth.
No,
I just feel
you
as though,
don't want to do that.
Am I allowed one more film
Brian
question?
Brian being asked questions.
What's that?
Brian hates being asked questions.
I don't like being asked questions.
That's fair enough, isn't it? You know, don't want to be
you
on the spotlight.
You questions. You've got to start your own podcast and invite me on.
You're quite right. Well said.
What would be your first question? Let's say it's
for
your
film. Questions.
So this is your podcast. So we've got your music, the one that's been so carefully constructed this afternoon's.
Why don't we hear it now and you introduce us to your podcast?
And
your
Blimey. First, and you're, we're a pilot.
We're in the podcast.
And your first guest is Brian.
Right.
And it's like, my guest is Mr. Brian.
Would you do the music, David?
Yeah, of course. I'm doing. And then you have to address the first question.
Okay, so this is your...
Here we go.
It's your new podcast.
Hello!
Obviously, your intro music start.
Okay, let the music... what's it called? A bed appear. Hello! Welcome to the Dave Edwards podcast called Edwards Educates, where every week I educate you about something new. Today on my
boring.
Left here...
Boring podcast.
I have Brian.
Boring podcast.
Still boring. What would you do? A bit more oak of a joke. A knock.
Don't know.
Special effects. Hello! Bonjour!
Enough of it.
It's not working.
No one
I think it
casts
through.
Any pods in a podcast, do they?
No. What is a pod?
Well,
is
it's them George Clooney things, isn't it? Doesn't he put... He walks around like villas with cups of them.
Oh, yes, little pods. You put them in and then you have... Once again, we're getting on well. A little pod, and you can have like a latte or something like that.
If he was here, he wouldn't... If he was here and he threw one, then genuinely you could say it was a podcast.
Yes, you could do. You sort of need his kind of presence.
George Clooney
is
chucking a little
them.
Plastic carton of coffee.
Also, is it pod podium? You're casting a podium? You're on a podium
Possibly.
Casting?
We've really got to end the...
With one last question, do you think? Just a little...
one quick question for David.
Oh, very quick. Have you ever been?
Is this the
Let's
best?
Let's go out on a high.
Let's go. Is this your favourite ever guest?
Oh, endlessly.
We have a little celebratory
like...
noise, please, editor.
Please, trumpets at dawn.
Can I phone up Adam Buxton and tell him that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. We don't want to rock the Buxton boat. Not that I think he's got bigger fish to fry.
Ask the question.
Yes, sorry. Quite right. Abscess focus.
This is a little treat.
Thank you, and I enjoy treats like the vending machine. So it's a case of
if you got treats out of it? You remember treats?
Yeah, the treats. David, you've been locked in a vending machine, haven't you?
Yes, at secondary school. I was a lot smaller then, and it was a proper big 80s style one.
Yeah.
And they closed the door. I was just sort of a wall of umbongos and
wagon wheels,
marathon bars back then, and wagon wheels. Yeah, well remembered. And I left there for about a good 15 minutes.
Okay, so your question for David is...
treat for your birthday.
A little treat for your 40th
Thank
birthday.
Thank you. No, this is appreciated, definitely. Have you ever been in a situation whereby you're watching the film without any sounds, because you bring the sounds, and you're confidently sort of saying, yeah, I can do this, I can do that, and part of you is just thinking, I don't know what music I can
that
put on
this.
That's
a great question. I like that question.
Oh, thank you. No, that's good of you.
We haven't got time for the answer.
Oh, dear. Let's.
That's a shame.
That was a massive shame.
Thank you so much.
It is a shame because the answer was it was mind-bogglingly brilliant.
Yeah, gutted.
I am gutted, like a fish that's been cut up.
Bye. Listen, you're back on in 2018. No, what, 2021? You're back on the podcast.
Okay.
Are we sure we can't have a little sliver of something? Sneak preview.
David, thank you so much for.
Terribly sorry for being. I might have been a bit undervalued today. I'm sorry.
It's, undervalued? Not at all. You've got up in the stock market.
Your voice sort of. Just I know. Calm it's like down.
Keep it masculine, like I said earlier.
We loved it.
We loved it.
We did.
David, thank you so much for getting involved. We'd obviously love to have you on board again. But
thank you for asking me. I would dearly love to. Because
do you really? Why are you not looking me in the eye then?
I'd dearly love to. This is my favorite. Yeah. These are my favorite things.
Yeah, favorite moments in your
they
life.
Are. They actually are. Really? I'm not even joking.
Yeah, yeah.
They are.
Oh, it's lovely to hear. It's lovely.
Favorite sure moments.
Yeah.
I just hope, you know, that's like a verbal contract. We're going to come together again.
You've got it on tape.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. We have.
You
very
haven't
true.
Got it on tape. You've got it in some sort of digital world. Yeah. See?
Cloud
see, you
up
say
there
it's
the
on
internet.
Tape, but it's not. That's because he's too busy teaching tapes at his school.
I know, but the tape and the film
boxes
is where it's real,
it.
Isn't it? It's
David, calm down.
I am calming down. I'm calm. I'm keeping my pulse down. I'm very focused and I'm balanced.
It's starting to shrink.
Thank you. Thank you, David, for coming along to the podcast.
Thank you, Brian.
Love to have you back.
Delightful.
Yes,
David,
please.
Obviously, it's been an utter pleasure. James, the editor, and Charles, the robot. And
catering, just
and the catering, the catering, obviously the lovely Lucy and her sisters,
extraordinary,
the violin woman,
and the violin woman, catering. and it's a lovely studio we've got here. Thank you.
Well,
David.
You're welcome. Thank you. You really must come again.
Yeah.
No, we will do. Thank you.
You definitely will.
I will. I'll be knocking on that door, shouting through the letterbox. I can see you. I can hear you breathing.
Can we just end the podcast on what you'll be shouting through the letterbox?
It'll be. Give us a hug, Dave.
Okay, that'll do.
Shake my hand for the letterbox.
Right,
I just want to feel you.
Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
That was a Mr. Box production.